So you really teach to you a little bit. I think, by the way, church, I think it's very important that we have, I don't know if you call it testimonies, whatever you want to call it, praises. It's important. I think the Lord, what do you think the Lord thinks when we brag on Him publicly? I mean, you ever think about that? Just what does He think? And then what does He think when we just sit there? I don't know. Maybe it's right. Maybe it's right to. I don't know. I believe He likes praise. I believe He likes that. Well, I want to go to Acts 13. Give me about... I probably won't even get started again, but at least I can... I'll use a few minutes and talk to you from the Word of God. I won't keep you long. I know most of you's worked hard today and give out. As we come to Acts chapter 13, let me pray real quick. Father, I pray You help me. Thank You for each testimony. Thank You, Father, for the Spirit of God that I felt in my heart. I pray You can give me clarity of thought and speech. Pray You'd open the hearts of the listeners, doing eternal work. We'll praise You for all You do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now we said this in Acts 13. We kind of have a turning point in the we've got some static in this system. Y'all we'll just have to endure it till we can get it checked out. But if we have a turning point in Acts chapter 13 and Acts 1 through 12, the emphasis is on the ministry of, or the focus is on the ministry of Peter preaching the gospel to the Jews, and the focus is on the Jerusalem church. And when we get to Acts chapter 13 through the rest of the book, our focus turns to Paul and the ministry to the Gentiles and to the church at Antioch. And I could tell you what I think. I agree with Brother Stennett Blue. The reason the ministry turned to the church at Antioch is because they were willing to be a mission church. They were mission-minded. And by the way, the Great Commission is still the Great Commission. Church, never lose sight of that. I'll be dead and gone one day, and some of you, if the Lord chooses not to come back, I think He is, but if He chooses to wait, I would have thought He'd already been back. But if He chooses to wait, you understand this, the mission of the church is getting the gospel to the whole world. It's not, and you know I love to shout it out, I love it. But it's not shout it out and come back next Sunday and let's try to shout it out again, come back next Sunday, let's try to shout it out again. And I hope we do that around here. I hope we try to worship and praise and have that. But really there is a purpose in the church. And the primary purpose is the Great Commission. And that's to go and tell. And to teach. And to, when people get saved, to baptize and to disciple them. And so there is a work that the church is to be about. We have a work to do. And so as we come to chapter 13, we're going to see the church engage or began this great effort of the Great Commission. Now, the way the gospel has been spread up through chapter 12 is through persecution. Persecution is what pushed the people out. We can go back and look at it, but we've talked about it enough. What caused the gospel to spread up to chapter 13 is persecution on the church. But now, in chapter 13, the church makes a purposed effort to engage without persecution, but to engage in getting the gospel out to the Gentile world. And so that's what we're looking at here. As we come to verse number 1, I'm just gonna teach this. I want you to always keep in mind, missions is I know this, many of y'all know it as well as I do. This one of our Brother Blue's little blueisms is what he called it. But missions is the heartbeat of God. It's the heartbeat of God. And if we're going to be in tune with God, we have to be involved in some area. And when the church gets away from evangelizing and baptizing and stabilizing or discipling, then we're away from the work of the church. The church is not a place to perform. It's not a place for entertainers to come. It's not a place for storytelling. And I know many preachers are storytellers, and they try to bring emotion and get you to cry and talk about this or that. But it's the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, and it's to get the truth out, if I can say it that way. So we're going to see as we come to chapter 13, there's five church leaders in the church at Antioch. Now, if you were to flip back a few pages, you would see where Barnabas went down and brought Paul. That's in chapter 11, verse number 25. It only mentions two men, Paul and Barnabas. I suspect as Paul and Barnabas labored and brought these other fellows along, that now we have five church leaders that are carrying out the work there. And we've already mentioned this. We saw the qualifications. Two men are going to be called to go to the mission field. That's Paul and Barnabas. And so we see where the Holy Ghost went to choose men to carry out or to go and carry out the Great Commission. And so he went to the church. Here's what I say to our young preachers around here. Wherever you are, be all there. Wherever you are, be all there. Here's how some people say it. Bloom where you're planted. In other words, where God places you, bow your head, put your shoulder down, get under a load, and carry out the work of the Lord. There's enough work for all of us to do around here. I'll promise you that. And so that's what they were doing. Here was these five men. And the Bible says this. The Bible says this in verse 2. As they ministered, that word minister means to serve. It doesn't mean you're the manager, you're the big shot. You're just sitting back telling people what to do. They were serving the Lord. And so here's what we said. Here's where the Lord goes to get his workers at. He goes into the local church. This whole thing is about the local church. Now, I'm not against Bible schools, and I'm not against mission boards, and I'm not against whatever else is out there. But when you get too far away from the local church, you miss God some way or another. You better listen to me. That's right. If you're going to do anything for God, you're going to do it under the authority and under the confines of the local church. That's how it is. Now, I understand this. I've seen all this so-and-so ministries and so-and-so. I'm going to tell you, I'm fearful of that. You know why? Because it's independent of the local church. Operate, carry out the work that God has for you under the authority of the local church. That's what they're doing. And so we said this. They were servants or laborers. God uses working people. Lazy people is not going to be used very much at all by God. I don't think he has time. I'd really like to go to Proverbs and read you all about the slothful and all those truths that are taught there. But I'd really be getting off the lesson. But they were laborers. They carried out the ministry under the local church, and they labored. Notice what it says, as they ministered to the pastor. It's not what it says, is it? As they ministered who? What? To the Lord. What we do, we ought to do it to the Lord. I hope these testimonies tonight were to the Lord. I believe they were. I hope the songs tonight were for Him and not to showcase talent. I hope I'm up here tonight not to show you who I am or what I know and how smart I am or how well I might can dissect this chapter. But I hope I'm up here tonight for the glory of God. And when we miss that, when we miss doing what we do for any other reason other than the glory of God, we missed it. We just missed it. It's about Him and not about us. I remind you what John said. He must increase and I must decrease. If we're going to amount to anything, He has to increase. We have to make much of Him and little about us. They were servants. They could work with others. We talked about that. Several nationalities, several cultures, different backgrounds. They could work together. And by that has to be. They were knowledgeable and learned in truth. They were prophets and teachers. My, how are you going to teach or preach if you don't know anything about the Word of God? You can't do it. That's why I tell you, fellas, be students of the Word of God. Get you some good, solid books and be students. Be readers. You've got to study the Word of God. If you're going to preach, you've got to know what the Bible teaches, or at least what you think it teaches. They were sensitive to the Holy Spirit. They were men of temperance. They had self-control. Most of us do not have enough self-control to pray faithfully like we ought to. That's just a fact of the matter. We wrestle with it. I've wrestled with it my whole life. This thing of self-control, self-discipline in our life. Do you read right? Do you pray right? Do you fast? My, I think it's obvious looking at me. I struggle with those things. And I'm saying to you, God uses and He desires out of our life those who are temperate. They were men of prayer. I've already talked about it. Let me go on through them. They were unselfish. They were willing to give up two of their best workers for the cause of Christ. They were self-motivated by the Spirit's leading. They didn't have to have somebody holding their hand. They wasn't wheelbarrow Christians. As long as you put your hands on it and push them along, they'll go. But the minute you take your hands off, like a wheelbarrow, they sat down. Not these men. Oh no. These men, they were serving the Lord. And they didn't need to be prompted and prodded. They were about the Lord's business. And then they were obedient. But then the Bible says this, and when they had verse number 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And so we see two sense there. Notice what it says in verse 3. And laid their hands on them, they sent them away. They sent them away. Verse 4, the Bible says, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Now, the church sent them, and the Holy Ghost sent them. Now, I was given a little lesson by Plato Shepherd many years ago. He was sharing with me, he's our missionary in Kansas, he was sharing with me that those two words have two different meanings. I went and checked it, and he was right. One means that when the church sent it away, that word sent carries the idea of to release. To release. And when the Holy Ghost sent, that carries the idea of to dispatch. Do you know what a dispatcher is? Do y'all have any idea what a dispatcher does? A dispatcher is one who takes, if it's a trucking outfit, he takes the orders and he dispatches the driver to a given location. And so here's what really is going on as far as this carrying out this great commission. The church had to identify with the work for it to be right. The church had to lay the hands on, identify with the word and then had to release them. And that's how it is. The church, the Holy Ghost and the church work hand in hand. Once the church released them for the work that God called them to, then the Holy Ghost tells them where to go. Not the church, but the Holy Ghost told them where to go. And so we see some little truths there. But I want you to notice this too, if I back up in verse number 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for not a work." I want you to understand it was a specific work. And I just like to say this. I think the Lord has a specific work for every one of us. Now here's what I see a lot. I see preachers trying to mimic other preachers, trying to be like another preacher. And I appreciate that. But Brian, maybe it was you that said today, somebody said to me today, I think it was you, that you just appreciate preachers being who they are. Just, was that you that said that? Okay, Brother Brown and I was talking, and he said, "You know, I've just come to appreciate a preacher being who he is. Not trying to be like somebody else, not trying to mimic, not trying to act like they're something they're not, but just being who they are." And the point I'm making is, God made us who we are, and we're all different. And we have to appreciate. Now some, we all have our likes, our preferences, but we ought to appreciate the truth. Whether I never forget hearing this. One time, I was listening to a preacher, and he gave this little example. He said, "If I'm in a restaurant, I don't care if the waiter tiptoes out there and just lays that T-bone steak down real easy, or I don't care if he does somersaults and slams it on the table. As long as it's a T-bone steak, that's all that matters to me." And I think his point was, we're all different. We have to understand that. Some get in a big way, some. I sat and listened to a man just talk just about like this, and not raise, and the Holy Ghost would be ripping my heart out on the inside. And then I've heard them getting a big way in the Holy Ghost working in my heart. But the main thing that we need is that spiritual food that has the touch of God upon it, don't you see? And so they had a particular work. That's my point that I'm trying to make. The work, not a work, the work whereinto I have called them. It was a called work. They were called, you see. They were called by the Holy Ghost before the church turned them loose or sent them, if I were to use the Bible word. And so here's what I say. The Holy Ghost dealt with them personally. I think that's important because they're going to pick up a fella just shortly, and the Holy Ghost, we don't have any record of the Holy Ghost dealing with him personally, and it become a problem. And so we see the Holy Ghost dealt with them, then the Holy Ghost spoke to the church, and the church released them and identified with the work, and then the Holy Ghost dispatched them where they needed to go. Now here's what I ask you. Where does a missionary go? Where do you go? Maybe you'd like to start a church. Where do you start a church at? Can I say this? Put your finger on the globe. There's a need everywhere in the whole world. There's a need for churches. You say there's all kinds of churches around here. Really? Where would you go? Where would you go? Tell me where the truth is at. Here's a lot of buildings that have the name church, but a lot of them's nothing more than a social club, nothing more than a fraternal order, whatever you want to call it, just a get together, a fellowship, whatever it is. Hey, it's a pillar. If it's not the pillar and the ground of the truth, it's not a church. That's right. I'm telling you right this evening. Well, here they are. They're being sent out by the church. My. One fella I was reading that said this, we see a mission and a commission. You can't have a mission without a commission. In other words, the church commissioned them to go forth. And so we see some truths regarding missions. Let me just give you these and I'll be through. I promise you I'll be through in a couple of minutes here. Some truths regarding, and let's just take missions out of it. Let's say the work of the Lord. You have to be called. You have to have a calling on your life. We're going to see John Mark, they picked him up. We don't see a calling. We don't see the church putting their hands upon him, identifying with him. And he struggled. My, we're going to talk about that. I would have got there tonight, I think. But they must be called. God calls qualified men. Now, the fact of the matter, he used a rooster and he's used a donkey and he's used this and that. But as a rule, those are the exceptions, not the rule. The rule is God uses holy, dedicated, qualified men to carry out His Word. God calls from the labor pool of the local church. I know a lot of these fellas say they recruit at the Bible schools and they do this or that. But according to this Bible, God calls His men out of the local church while they're laboring in the local church. And so I think God means for it to be a team effort. I think that laying on of hands was saying, we're identifying with you, we're part of the work. Those that go, those that stay is just as much a part of the work as those that go. You know we've been taught that. And so missions is the work of the church, but the Holy Ghost calls before the church acts. You need to understand that. The church only ratifies the work and call of the Holy Ghost. And keep in mind, the Holy Ghost has perfect timing. Now, He didn't call Paul and Barnabas when they were the only two. He didn't call that. One fellow I was reading that says, the Lord does not ask any church to cripple itself, even for missions. I don't know if that's so or not. I like to think it is. I like to think that to be the case. But he called when, even though Paul and Barnabas is leaving, there's still a good, solid leadership team there carry out the work of the Lord. And I want to say to you young people, I want you young people, look with me in verse number 1. I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but I want you to look at verse number 1. The Bible's talking about these folks. It says, young people, are you with me in verse 1? Say amen if you are. All right. As Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manane. Now notice what it says. Which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Manane had been brought up with Herod. They had the same upbringing. Now I want you to stop thinking. This is the Herod that stole Herodias from, I've forgotten her first husband's name, but who stole Herodias and took John the Baptist's head off. Now here's Manane who grew up with Herod and had the same upbringing, the same community, the same schooling, the same education, the same teaching, all the same thing. And here's Manane in the church. And Herod's a murderer. He's a minister and Herod's a murderer. Same upbringing. Now here's what I want to say to you young people. Now, I don't know if Manane lived above his upbringing or Herod lived below his upbringing. I don't know which it was. But here's what I'm saying. What you do with your life, it will ultimately be your choice. If you want to waste your life, if you want to set worldly goals and worldly pursuits as Herod did, he had a political aspirations and ambitions, and my was must have been smart. He was successful. He got what he wanted, but the fact of the matter, when he got what he wanted, it wasn't what he thought it was. Young people, you can be raised in the best church and the best home, but you're going to have to make a decision someday. You better listen to me. And it might look glamorous. You may be like old Herod. You may look and see the money and see the glamour and see the prestige and the position and the power. You may say, that's for me. Listen, young people, if you miss God for your life, you've missed everything. You better heed me tonight. You better listen to what I'm saying. I'm telling you right. If you, nation, if you miss God for your life, you missed it all. That's right, Elijah. If you miss God for your life, whatever He's got for your life, if you miss it, you missed it all. That's right. Can I tell you, they were brought up together. One went one way and one went the other. And I know parents blame themselves many times. But this says they was raised together. Had the same raising. One chose one way and one chose the other. Young folk, I want to encourage you. Go with God. Just go with God. You'll never regret it. Well, I need to stop right there for tonight. I know I didn't get started, but that's where we're going to stop at tonight. Let's give our hearts and lives to Him. Let's bow our heads this evening. It may not even be anything about the message, but you may need to use this altar. You may need to pray before we leave today. And I want to give you an opportunity to do so. One verse, Sister Grace, nobody comes.